In October 1914, the French and the German armies were locked in battle. One of the German soldiers, called Werner Simonsen, was one of 50 who had just captured some French prisoners. One of them was an ex-schoolmaster who seemed particularly distressed at being a prisoner. So Werner Simonsen gave him some food and started to talk to him kindly in French. And then suddenly the French counterattacked, and as a result of the firing, 35 Germans were killed, along with some of the French prisoners they'd captured earlier. So to take revenge for the death of the Frenchman, 5 Germans, including Simonsen, were lined up to be shot. Then the schoolmaster appeared, spoke to the senior French officer, and as a result, Werner Simonsen was led away, and the other Germans were then shot. From that day, he never forgot the importance of small acts of kindness. In fact, he became known for them. So Werner Simonsen became a prisoner of the French at the Battle of Dixmude. It lasted 5 years, that imprisonment. He was made to work on farms in the south of France, and he had plenty of time to wish he was back home, wish he could see his father, who was an outstanding lawyer and judge. He wanted to go back to university to go back to the studies he had left. He'd foolishly believed the Kaiser's boast that he was going to eat his Christmas dinner in Buckingham Palace, and he'd left his books and he'd joined a guards regiment. Well, it wasn't until 1920 that Werner Simonsen got back to Germany. And by 1921, he became a doctor of law. He was 31 by that time. Then he became a judge. And by 1928, he was a high court judge. And when Germany itself was struggling with problems, he was living comfortably with his wife and son. And then, in 1933, Hitler came to power. Hitler called the Jews subhuman monkeys, and a persecution started. Simonsen was interviewed, and they found out that all 4 of his grandparents were Jews. His parents were baptized Lutherans, so although he had fought for Germany and he had nothing to do with the Jews, he was sacked. His career was in ruins. Publishers wouldn't print his books, and his passport had a huge J for Jew stamped on it, and all his advantages had gone just like a soap bubble. And then while he was visiting his sister in Dresden, he went to the Lutheran church, even though he was personally convinced that Socrates was a far more important person than Christ. And at the service, a preacher spoke about some people who have to reach the end of themselves. They get to a kind of an abyss where they can go neither forward nor back before they can find the way to God. And he says it was as if God was speaking personally to me. His whole life was transformed. The Holy Spirit filled him. His faith was in the crucified and risen Christ alone. He had that inner assurance that his sins were forgiven. And that conversion to Christ took place when he was 49 years old. So don't think only youngsters are converted. But life was becoming more and more difficult. Every time the doorbell rang, they were scared it was the Gestapo or secret police come for them. And then he had a heart attack, and the doctor refused to treat him because the Nazis called him a Jew. He had the chance to go to England to get away from it all. Now aged 50, he took a deep breath of freedom as he stepped off a boat at Southampton in March 1939, hoping that his wife and his son would be able to join him in England as soon as he had enough money to support them. He could speak no English, and he brought the only thing the Nazis couldn't take from him, which was his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as he grew in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord, he experienced an intense inward call to be a minister of the gospel, a pastor. But then the Second World War started, and all the Germans in England were rounded up in case they were spies. Simonson was put in the camp with all the rest as Heighton in Liverpool. And before long, they were moved to Douglas in the Isle of Man. He was kept there for 6 months. And during that time, the Christian Germans witnessed so well to the Jewish Germans in the next hotel that three of them were saved and converted to Christ and were baptized in the hotel in Douglas. Now, in the middle of the war, the only place he could find which would teach him English and give him some basic theological training was an evangelical Anglican college. They gave him 3 years free tuition for the ministry. So at the height of the war, a German citizen was ordained as a Church of England minister, now aged 52. The British newspapers were full of the amazing story of how a German passport-carrying citizen had become a British church minister in the middle of the war. And about this time he heard his father had died. His mother and sister had been gassed in Auschwitz, and his wife, who fortunately for her was not Jewish, was free from arrest in Germany, but living in Dresden. Simonson went to his first church, Fulham. He kept up a program of evangelistic visiting. This was his strength. 30 hours a week he devoted to house visiting. Imagine having to visit a church member whose son had just been killed in a bomber over Germany and being a German yourself. But to his amazement, the English Christian received him as a brother in Christ. As soon as the war was over, his wife and his son came to England. Then at 65, he moved to a church in Hampstead. He stayed there 9.5 years, still active, bought himself a motorbike to replace his pushbike. And then the West German government, the new one that came after Hitler, wanted judges, and it wanted them badly because all the judges in Germany were contaminated with Nazism. Now, at the time, he was earning £250 a year. They offered him a huge sum of money if only he would come over and be a high court judge in West Germany. He gave them an instant decision. He was winning souls in Hampstead. That was the call of God, and everything else was second to it. Now, during his time at Hampstead, 10 Jewish people, not to speak of the Gentiles, were converted to Christ, baptized and added to the church. And when he moved from there in 1965, his replacement was, just for some of you who know him, Alec Mateer. Werner Simonson lived to be 101, and he died in 1991. Though more or less blind towards the end, he preached to within a few weeks of his death. And would you believe it, he saw conversions even at that age. He was a humble, a self-effacing man, a prayerful man, who learnt from his experiences of life. After all, when you think about it, what had happened to him? He'd been a soldier, he'd been a prisoner, he'd been a lawyer, a judge, an author, a persecuted nobody under Hitler, a refugee, a theology student, and lastly, an evangelistic minister in three churches. Now, his conversion in middle age is unusual, and perhaps because Christ called him late in life, he was always eager to redeem the time. What a lesson for us. Because of that ministry of his, there are many in heaven today. And he wrote a little book of his memories, and he wrote at the beginning his motive for doing it. "I have written this small book," he said, "to show that God changes lives." Thank God that's still true today. Maybe even here tonight.